were supposed to sing in church the other night, and I wanted our family to sing this song. My daughter said she'd never heard of it. So, she needs to learn that when I get back. Amen. Now let me think of how it goes. Good to see y'all. Amen. How many? I didn't look back. How many were not here last year? Amen. Half of you. Amen. All right. Now, was that a good smile or not? That was a sneer. Amen. I've gone blank. I'll get it. Yep. I'm 55. Amen. Here we go. Beyond the borders of time, there's a beautiful land. The Word of God, its glory unfurls. And by the grace of God, I someday will call it my home. I've never missed heaven for the world. I've never missed seeing Jesus. I've never missed seeing loved ones who've gone on before. I'd never trade forever for a few days down here. I'd never miss heaven for the world. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Though things of earth may try to allure, but the smile of God means more than sin's brief glimmering days. I'd never miss heaven for the world. I'd never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones who've gone on before. I'd never trade forever for a few days down here. I'd never miss heaven for the world. Oh no, I'd never trade forever for a few days down here. I'd never miss heaven for the world.
Amen. Amen. I like that second verse. Amen. Somebody mentioned a song earlier, and I'll go ahead and sing it while I'm thinking about it. Amen. I'm not the oldest person in here, but I'm pretty close to. Amen. Who's older? Yeah, I see a couple. Amen. Amen. I'm not the patriarch, but I'm getting up there. Amen. But this song talks about a fellow that should have been on that metal cross. It wasn't meant for Jesus Christ as far as the Roman government was concerned. It was meant for Barabbas. But Jesus took his place. And I'm glad he took my place on that cross. Amen. From my prison cell, I watched them play their cruel game. Just a man, a blindfold, and a purple robe of shame. Each man struck him on his face and said in mockery, prophesy and tell us, was it either him or me? Then they brought him to my cell and said, man, don't you know? Barabbas, you're the people's choice. He'll die, you're free to go. Later on, I watched them take his life on Calvary. I told myself a thousand times, it was either him or me, either him or me. It took my place on Calvary. I'm so unworthy to be free. It was either him or me. Down inside sin's prison cell, bound with chains so strong, awaiting death, the wages for which I had worked so long, and knowing hell awaited me in eternity. The warden said there was no hope for either him or me. Then I stumbled to the prison window where I saw a wounded man upon a cross who died for one and all. I knew that somehow through his death that I could be set free. That's when I put my faith in him. It was either him or me. Either him or me. He took my place on Calvary. I'm so unworthy to be free. It was either him or me.
Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, where do we begin? We're about to look into one of the deepest, darkest valleys imaginable. We're going to try and really, really believe that you're good, always. And you're going to take us down a dark path. Going to show us a man who is absolutely ruined, not just financially, but emotionally. Everything about him has been stripped down. He wishes he were dead. Lord, you didn't waste 42 chapters in this Bible. Lord, you want us to learn some things. You want us to start living some things. God, help us tonight to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Where do you begin? One thing I've learned about this Bible, whether you're studying the life of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, whether you're studying the life of Jonah, or you're studying the life of Abraham, you know what you're learning? About God. That book, and one of the great things about that book is a book of lives. Amen. There are people in there. Amen. Real people, real problems, real victories. But this thing's to tell me about God.
Yes.
I mean, I and just as I prayed, I mean, we're going to be introduced to a man, and we're going to learn from him, but you're going to learn about God. So our starting point is, let's learn about the God of Job, so we can get this stupid viewpoint that we have. We come to God. Do you remember, anybody remember how stupid they were just last year? I mean, we've got preconceived ideas of what God is supposed to be like and what He's supposed to do and how He's supposed to answer our prayers. And so we come to God and we're more frustrated than a woman in a shop. Because you don't have any money. Because we're going and we're trying to do all the right things and God doesn't seem to be working. We plug all the right buttons. We do all the things and God doesn't seem to work. And the problem is not God. You understand? The problem is I don't know Him. I don't understand Him. And so we get frustrated. We start saying, well, let my wife go to church. Let my kids go to church. You know, doesn't make sense to me. The problem is you're not trying. All right? Being a man means you think. Amen? Most men are animals. Most male of the species out there know how to be male. They don't know how to be men. Amen? And if you want to be a man, you want to be able to put down a jar. You want to be able to put down a bottle. You want to be able to put down a magazine. You want to live. Then you're going to have to get in this book.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
You're going to have to find out a different way of living, a different way of thinking. And it's a Bible way. Amen? It's not an effeminate way. It's a masculine way. We're going to learn about the God of Job. Amen. He's a great God, by the way. Now, I believe this is the deepest desire of the believer. Open your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Thinking about, pondering about this man, Job's statement. When he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord, he seems to know the Lord. He's not mad at God yet. He seems to say, this is how God works. As a matter of fact, he tells his wife a little while later, he says to her, hey, shall we not both receive good and evil from the hand of the Lord? He knows about God. We need to know that kind of a God too. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. When you find that, also hold in your left hand Jeremiah. Find the wonderful book of Jeremiah. A parallel book to the book of Job is the book of Jeremiah. You ought to write that down in your title page of the book of Job. See Jeremiah. Because they go hand in hand. But Jeremiah chapter 9. In your left hand. In your right hand, let's find Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. The deepest desire of the believer. One of the ways you know you're saved is you have a hunger for God. You may not know much, but you want to know. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I, and this is Paul after 25 years of being saved. He wants to know Jesus more. That I may know Him. Oh, and we just celebrated what the world calls Easter. We just celebrated the resurrection. And Paul does. And believe me, it's a great way to know the Lord. To know Him in the power of the resurrection. Last time you prayed, did you say, God, You who can raise Yourself up from the dead, please answer this prayer. Amen. See, that's the power that you're tapping into when you pray. Amen. All right, now I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Amen. But there's the other half. Look at the rest of it. And in the sweet fellowship of His what? All right, so there's something about a balanced God that most people don't know. But if you're saved, you want to know. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Jeremiah 9 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Solomon, sit down. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Samson, shut up, sit down. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Bill Gates. Sit down. Amen. But let him that glorieth, and I like to glory. I like to rejoice. Amen. I like to get excited. There's nothing wrong with being a man and saying amen.
Amen.
When I was at Bible college, you know, all the guys were saying amen, and all the girls were very quietly going, amen, amen. But after 4 years, they were going, any man, any man. But let him that glorieth, I'll get back to the book, amen. Let him that glorieth, this is what you can rejoice in, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Isn't that awesome? You want to get a thrill? Get to know God. And I mean not just meditating on, you know, transcendental dentures and all that stuff, you know? Look at what kind of God we serve. That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. Oh, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Every child of God has a special yearning in their heart that cries out to know Him more intimately. My Bible says in Galatians chapter, don't go there, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, the moment I got saved, the Holy Spirit came into me and began to cry out, Abba. Abba. Now that is a term that goes back to the Old Testament. It goes back into the time when little children would run around. They didn't speak English back there. Little boys would come up to their daddy and they'd go, Dada, Daddy, Abba. That was their word. Now, you come up and get up there and call me Daddy and I'll punch you. Amen? Because I'm not. But one of my kids does, man, I'll hug him. Amen? You know, a lot of people call God their father and they're not. He's not their father. But when He's your father, you're just not going, oh, Father. You know, all formal prayer. You know, when you're praying and you know God, it's like calling up in His lap. Daddy, I need help. Amen. That's how you pray. Amen. There are no formal prayers. So, Religion is only a stab in the dark to try to understand God. All religions, they grope in this darkness called life, seeking, and they put on a good act. I was reading Sunday's little paper. I think it was Independent. They had religion in Ireland. About every 6 months, they like to write about religion changing in Ireland. And all of the different religions, not one time did they interview a Baptist. I wonder why. We're not religion, amen?
Amen.
We have a relationship, yeah. Amen? But they are acting like they know God and they can speak for Him, which they can do neither. Do you know God can only be known when He reveals Himself? You're not going to find Him. Amen? He's not up in Loch Derg or Majagori or Lourdes.
Amen.
He has to reveal Himself, man. And He's revealed Himself unto us through the Scriptures. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, in Hebrews 1, has spoken unto us by prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Amen. So God speaks, and boy, we need to listen, because He's trying to tell us about Himself. Now, who is this God? Can He be known? Can mere man know an almighty, infinite, eternal, all-wise God? My dad doesn't think so. My dad says, if there is a God, there's no way to know Him. What a sad existence. If there is a God, I'd like to know Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Second question would be, can you trust Him always? That He'll always do good. Second thing I want you to know is it is not easy to know Him. It's not an easy thing. That's why some of you won't be back here next year. Because you're here, your pastor bribed you, talked you, dragged you into men's retreat, bribes you for church, convinces you, you got to come, and you come, and you pull away. You know why? Because it's work. Amen? Your pastor doesn't want you coming to church and being entertained.
Amen.
He's trying to open your brain, get some truth in there, sink it down to the heart, and change your life. And it takes work. Amen? Your wife knows how much work it takes. Amen? Most people don't want to know Job's God. They do not like Him. You ever heard this phrase? Oh, I love Jesus. I just don't like the guy in the Old Testament.
No.
Yeah. You know what? He's the same God in Genesis as He is in Matthew. He's the same God in Exodus as He is in Revelation. This modern type of churchianity and Christianity, I know people go to church, but they don't know Christ. They create a God in their own image. They create a God that answers their selfish prayers, that coddles their wicked sins, that scratches their itching ears, and if He doesn't, they dump Him. That's not God. The God of Job is a merciful, patient, loving God. Amen? But the God of Job is also terrifying. You ever notice something in your Bible? Go to 2 Corinthians. I haven't even gotten into Job yet. 2 Corinthians. I have 30 messages. So hold on, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, you ever hear these phrases, Brother Pittman? Well, when the Bible says the fear of the Lord, what it means is the reverence for God. Well, let me show you a verse, okay? And I respect God, but I do more than respect God. Look at your Bible. Why are you a soul winner, Brother Ledbetter? Why do you start a church? Why do you worry about people going to hell? Look at your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Is this in the Old Testament? Did I pick the wrong page? It's New Testament. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, guess what we do? We persuade. We chose this for. We made a little video ad for our youth camp coming up in July, and we called him the Motivator. And he's got on the back of his T-shirt 2 Corinthians 5:11. Amen. He persuades. Amen. To come to camp. Amen. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your conscience, folks. You need to know that God is not only merciful, patient, loving kind, but He's also terrifying, awesome, scary, holy, and inflexible. You better work His way. You better know the God of Job. Now, God likes to reveal Himself. Oh, let me say this. You got to know the God of Job. Look at 2 Thessalonians. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to the right. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 8. Start there in verse 7. I like how my Bible talks to me. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest. I mean, that's all I need for a night. Amen. Amen. Job, you troubled? You can rest. Why? Because God said so. Amen. But it goes on. You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Is he coming back?
Amen.
You better believe it. In flaming fire. Taking vengeance on them that murder. Is that what it says? Oh, please stay with me. Taking vengeance on them that rape. Is that what it says? Taking vengeance on them that steal. Is that what it says? Look what the vengeance of Almighty God is against. Them that know not God. Now, you a Bible believer or not?
Amen.
We just hit a big wall, didn't we? God would judge a world because they don't know Him? It's not that they're ignorant of Him. They don't want Him. When they looked at Jesus Christ and they looked at Barabbas, they said, nah, we'll take him, a murderer. They knew what they were doing. You better get to know the God of Job, because ignorance of God is damnation. You know why people are going to end up in hell tonight? Because they don't know how to get saved. They are lost already. The fact you haven't witnessed to them doesn't change a thing.
Amen.
They are lost. Right. They are sinners. They are separated from God. Your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers, your granny, your grandkids. I don't care how old you are, brother. Your extension, the people in Papua New Guinea, the people in the farthest land. It's not that they haven't been told. The fact is they are lost. Somebody's got to go tell them. Because they don't know God. That's how serious this thing is. Take another verse. Go to John 17 and verse 3. Gospel of John chapter 17 and verse 3. Listen to Jesus as he's speaking to his Father. He says this, Gospel of John chapter 3, and this is life eternal. I think you ought to put a big star beside that. You want to know what life eternal is? Here it is. That they might know thee. Who's he talking to? His Father. Oh, that the world might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. You have to get to know the God of Job, folks. I read of a pastor, how he was making a call on a businessman. This businessman had come to his church, and so he'd fill out a visitor card, so he was calling to his house, and he began to talk to him. And he began to give his testimony, the Christian businessman began to give his testimony of how the Lord had saved him. But then he said something that really shocked the preacher. He was speechless. The man said, I used to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he was buried and rose again. But I don't believe it anymore. The pastor was stopped dead in his tracks. Then a smile cracked on the businessman's face and he said, nah, I don't believe it anymore. I know it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
How many of you knew Jesus died and was buried and rose again? You grew up knowing that, but you never believed it. You never knew it. Amen. See, religion will numb us. We got to move from what we think to what we know. In our heart of hearts. Amen.
Yeah.
Do you know Him? You've got to know the God of Job. Now, learn about God in the following ways. Are you glad He wants us to know Him? Amen.
Amen.
I mean, scientists are trying to figure out, you know, how small they can go and all these little particles and atoms and cells and electrons and protons. And they're looking out in the stars and the galaxies and the nebula. And they're not finding God. They're not finding Him. They never will. I'm glad I don't have to rely on some scientist to find God and tell me about Him.
Amen.
God wants me to know Him. It revolutionized my life. It changed me. It saved my soul when a soul winner told me, God's looking for you. I didn't think He wanted me. I didn't think anybody would want me. And there He was, trying to crack through a hard skull that He loved me and that He gave His Son so I wouldn't have to go to hell. He was looking for me. That blew me away, folks. But I want to tell you got to learn about God in the following ways. You'll learn this from Job, all right? You'll learn this weekend. First of all, God reveals Himself very carefully through the following ways. The first way is by the Holy Spirit and by the Scriptures. They go hand in hand. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19 in the middle of your Bible. You know the most awful place to be in? John, you know the most, the worst kind of life to live is a life where God has been shoved away and He goes that way. Now, if you're unsaved, He can never leave you or forsake you. You don't misunderstand me. But there are so many people in this world who have been given a gospel tract and thrown it away, who've been pleaded with and prayed for and wept over and wept in front of even. And He keeps shutting them up and shutting them up. And the Lord says, adios. That's the worst state to be in. Do you understand? Now, I want to show you something. I want to show you. If God wants you to know Him, you better take it as a treasure. The heavens, look at Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. They're screaming out, He's here. He's awesome. Do you know Him? The problem is we don't take notice. God draws all men unto Himself. Aren't you glad? Nobody gets saved because they find God. They get saved because they finally go, I'm over here. You've been looking for me? Here I am. You don't go finding Him. He finds you. Amen. God uses the Bible to get us in tune with the Holy Spirit. I know people will spend, they'll talk for the next 6 hours about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. They'll talk about the gifts and the tongues, and they'll talk about the miracles. And you know what? They haven't picked up the Bible in 3 months.
Yeah, that's it. That's true.
You know what? You will not be able to hear and obey that still small voice of the Holy Spirit unless you're in tune. And that book gets you in tune.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
They work hand in hand. And if you want to know God, you're not going to know Him without that book. And if you want to have that book illuminated, just start obeying it. Start listening to it. Take it literally. Amen. And the Holy Spirit just comes in and speaks and says, now you got it. That's for you. That's for you.
Amen.
That's how you know God. You're not going to figure out God. You're not going to look at a tree and go, so that's how God is. It's not going to work that way. He's going to have to show you His book. But that's not enough. God teaches us about Himself not only through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit. He actually, as we will learn, He'll actually make us suffer. And I don't like that. Amen? I don't like it when my wife's mad at me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I mean, you laugh, but it's true. When I'll tell you this. When I was courting my wife, there's a time there, we were flying, man. I thought, rolling. I hadn't asked her yet to marry me or anything. We were going great. I saw her every day. I was in Bible college with her, so I got to see her every day. I got to talk to her. I got to spend time with her at breakfast and at lunch. And then when I came home from work in the evening, I got to talk to her on the phone. And it was just sweet. And one day, I don't understand. There's no explanation for it, but she wouldn't answer my phone call. She wasn't there in the morning for breakfast. She wasn't there for lunch. And she wasn't sick. She was avoiding moi. Now, that doesn't make sense. Who would want to avoid me? Amen? I was, 3 days, I was furious. Who was this woman getting on doing this to me? Boy, did I not know what I was getting myself into. Amen? Women do that, man. Nobody likes the cold shoulder, the quiet shoulder. Nobody likes cold food or no food. Nobody likes the trial. Amen? That's just with being married. Folks, listen to me. God, you know what? During that time, during those 3 days when my wife just pulled away and didn't want to talk to me at all, I got so mad. I was so frustrated. I was talking to her friends. I was trying to figure out, I was talking to my guy. Why is she doing this? What did I say? What did I do? Da, 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 da. Here's the truth. During those 3 days, do you think I prayed? Do you think I spent any time in prayer, or was I only worried about me? I was. So, At the end of that thing, I finally got outside my bed and I started giving out to God. I said, God, I thought I was in love with this girl. I was even thinking about marrying her. I was really thinking about this thing. And like the slap of a back of a hand, pow, it hit me. So now you're talking to me. There's the point. The pennies dropped, and there were plenty of pennies. Craig, you see what it's like when somebody's all caught up in something else and they won't talk to you. Now you know how I feel. And I began to break down and I said, God, I can't believe how stupid and how selfish and how dense I am. And during that, quote, suffering time, I learned about God. Do you understand? Would you please quit whinging and griping and crying over a hangnail and over a stubbed toenail and over a broken down car and getting maybe fired from a job, or maybe your health maybe trips up and all of a sudden you're sick or whatever for a little while and you lose your job. Whatever you're going through, God wants you to know Him better. And He's trying to get you to see something. I don't know what it is, but I certainly would talk to Him if I were you. Amen. He uses the suffering. A lot of people think of God theologically. But you know, God He reveals Himself practically in the sorrows and in the tears. Third, you learn about God through searching. Look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Some of my favorite scriptures. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee.
Amen.
My flesh, not just the spiritual part of you, but his flesh even longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. You know, there's a way to get to a place where you just ache to get to church. You just, I can't wait to get to men's retreat.
Yes.
If I ever get, I mean, if 5 months from now I'll see Hugh, you know what Hugh will ask me? When's men's retreat? And he'll start drooling. Because he's hungry for a place like this, and for just a time like this. Amen? He's hungry. You know, Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, God loves it. And you know what my wife loves? She enjoyed the fact that I was really going bonkers trying to find out what was wrong. She's sitting over there, you know, ignoring my calls. Tell him I'm not here and all this stuff. And she loved it. So is God. Oh, God, where are you? And he's quiet. He says, do you really want to know? Do you understand? This is what we're going to learn about Job. Not Job, sorry. We're going to learn from Job. We're going to learn about God. He teaches you through the suffering. Job hungered to understand God. Look at Job 23. Now let's get into Job. Job 23. In verse 3. Job 23 and verse 3. Oh, that I might know, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Now, really, if you understand what's going on, honestly, Job thinks he's got the raw end of the deal. He's got the bad end of the stick. He thinks he doesn't deserve what's going on, and he wishes he could just talk to God and just explain, God, you got the wrong guy, man. This is how he feels. But you know what's interesting? God wrote it down, not to rebuke him, but saying, at least he's searching. At least he wants to talk to me. You know, Job didn't go, oh, devil, where's that devil? I'm going to just go. You know, the devil's the one who stripped him of everything. Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
But he knew who to talk to.
Amen.
Job knew, I got to get alone with God. I just want to, I got plenty of things I want to say. Good, good. You know, God can take it. Amen?
Amen.
You ever mad at God? Did you know what? He's not going to get upset. You want to just give out? I may give out. You get mad at me, I may want to punch you back. God will go, keep pouring it on. Come on, come on, come on, get it out. Amen. He's big enough, amen. Aren't you glad? That's how you pray. Sometimes you're just frustrated. You're out. You're at the end of your rope. Good. Tell God how you feel. Search for him. You'll find him. You'll learn about him more than you'll ever learn from any book besides the Bible. But when God teaches you some of that book and then puts you into some suffering, and realize he's polishing and he's revealing his glory. Do you know, God, Israel couldn't have cared less about God's ways. Psalm 95 says this, 40 years long, God says, I was grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. They didn't care about God's ways. All they cared about was their belly. I mean, how many of you enjoy eating cucumbers? Anybody in here? Oh, go on. How many of you would rather have a steak than a cucumber? All right. Now, how many of you really like eating cucumbers? All right. But those, the Israelites said, oh, the cucumbers back in Egypt. Think about what they're saying, amen? That's how dense they were. God was trying to show he had taken them through. He had taken them out of Egypt without a shot, without a sword, without a shield, without an army. He had been feeding them. He had taken them through the Red Sea. And there they are going, oh, I could just eat a whole cucumber. Do you understand? But when we're laughing, if I could just show you 2 years ago, you were talking the same way. You may even still be talking that way about God. Oh, if I could just be free enough to just go back to the old life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You're saying the same thing. Amen. They do not know my ways. They don't want to know me, he said. But that's still not enough. God teaches us about himself more than just when we're searching for him in the trial and in the suffering, when we're looking for answers. And really, really, if you have a disaster, folks, hey, your kid's sitting in the hospital, he's on a respirator, they're doing a spinal tap, and they're doing all this stuff. You know what you need to do? You need to go get somewhere. You need to get alone with God. You need to say these words. Why? Okay, God, I'd like to know why. You want my attention? You got it. All I want to know is why. That's a good thing to ask. I've been there. It's a very good thing. Listen, it is right to want to know, because God wants to talk in the trial. Just go searching for him. Don't wait for the words from the doctor. Don't wait for the nurse to tell you what to do. You need to spend some time with with the great surgeon of heaven and let him say, it's going to be all right, no matter what the doctor says. Amen. Let me go on. You learn about God, fourthly, through sharpening. Through sharpening. What do I mean by that? Go to Job 13. I'll show you what I mean. Job 13. I'll probably confuse some of you. Job chapter 13 and verse 6. Hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pleading of my lips. Job is talking to his friends. I'll show you what I'm talking about in just a second. Proverbs 32 and verse 11 now. Hear my pleadings, Job says. My arguments, Job 32 and 11 says this. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons while she searched out what to say. And these are only little snippets of the discussion, but I want you to understand. There is something about a lost art. Are you listening? There's something about a lost art that's called debate. It's called discussion. It's called disagreement. I mentioned it on Sunday. I said it was right for our men. I was telling you, it is right for men to disagree. It is a manly thing to disagree. Amen? Now admit it when you're wrong.
Amen.
Amen? But it is a manly thing to disagree and not just go with the flow. Amen? Your friends came along and they said, let's go do this. And you, like a dummy, just went along and did everything and you never fought it. Now, here you are saved. You're in that book. You're trying to learn some things. Somebody starts saying some things. If you don't understand, ask them.
Amen.
Learn. We sharpen each other like two pieces of iron, the Bible says. Iron sharpening iron. There is something manly about looking at him and saying, I don't understand. And he says, let me explain it another way. Amen? Don't be so wimpy and go, well, I don't want to offend him. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. These three friends gather around Job, and you know what they did for 33, 34 chapters? You know what they did? They went back and forth and back and forth. You know what they were doing? They were trying to understand God. Do you know how come the Apostle Paul won so many people to Christ? Because in his day and age, men sat in the market, not the women. Men were in the market. They had done buying and selling. They were doing the commerce. But they talked about God. And in comes Paul and says, let me introduce you to the one you don't know. And they go, what does this babbler say? He says some new thing, the resurrection of Jesus. Tell us more. That's great. Men on the job, when it comes time for a break, don't miss an opportunity. If they start talking, oh man, all this religion stuff, you know, all this stuff. Go in there. Hey, I'm glad you're saying that. Religion has killed more people. There's damn more people. There's something better than religion. Oh, yeah. What's that? Jesus. Amen. Amen. He didn't fight over religion. He gave his life. Yeah. Amen. God didn't send his son in strapped with bombs.
Amen.
To try to kill a lot of people. Amen. He gave his life to save the whole world. Amen. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Do some discussion at work. Amen. When you're at the house, what does the Bible say in Deuteronomy chapter 6? The father is to sit down with his family and discuss and debate and argue even about the scriptures. Why? Not that you're arguing. Don't take the wrong idea. But that you're sharpening. Play the devil's advocate. Do you really? Oh, I love playing that with my kids. They don't like it because I'm the preacher, you know. They can't figure me out sometimes whether I'm lying or I'm telling the truth, you know. But you play the devil's advocate. Oh, do you really, really believe that? You know, what the Bible says. Sarah's great. Sarah will go, yeah. Folks, listen. Sharpening. People have lost the ability to discuss, man. They just can't. If it's not on the telly, if it's not in the newspaper, they won't talk about it. Man, I got something that predates the telly and the newspaper. We're talking about, singing about, praying about. I'm telling you what. God's people, we've got something to say.
Yes.
Let's say it, amen. And if people start getting mad at us, just take it. Be a man. All they that live godly shall suffer persecution and put up with it, amen. Paul debated and reasoned with the people about God. He says it there, Acts, over and over. He reasoned with them in the synagogue. He took them and he took them scripture after scripture. And some of them, they threw them out, man. They got upset at him. But that's how he won. The first century Christians turned this world upside down. Because they taught. They didn't wait for them to come to church. They went to the world.
Amen.
Sharpening. But that won't be enough. Finally, and most importantly, God reveals himself through silence. Through silence. Job 13:24. I hope I and these other preachers whet your appetite for the book of Job. When I got saved, three books blew me away. And they became instantly my favorite books. All right? My favorite books were Luke, Hebrews, and I'll give you one other guess. Only one. The book of Job. Job chapter 13. I actually sat down and I got me a notebook, one of these wire-bound notebooks, and I copied out the book of Job word for word because I wanted to. I did that with several books. But I wrote that out and I wrote my thoughts alongside because I wanted to get it. Now, Job chapter 13, verse 24 says this. Wherefore, he's crying out. Look at this to God. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? Why are you hiding and yet you're treating me like an enemy? Go to Psalm 10. Go to the right. Go to Psalm 10. Would you crack that window there right beside you there? Psalm 10. Not only did Job feel that way, David felt that way sometimes too. Look what he says. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Folks, how many of you ever felt like God sort of stepped away and went quiet? Amen. All right. You know what's amazing? That's when God is trying to teach you. God is understood by his silence as much as by his word. What do I mean by that? When God is silent, or seems silent, it doesn't mean he's not there. You're going to have to learn to trust God whether you have the feeling or not. Be a man. Amen? A woman goes shopping because she feels like it. Amen? But men, you're supposed to do right whether you feel like it or not. Amen? And when he pulls back and he stays silent, he wants to know, are you going to be like Job and say, he's given, he's taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. His silence. You know, it doesn't mean that he's not there. Secondly, it probably means he's already spoken. Write that down. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 23. I'll show you something really powerful. Luke 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse 8. Jesus was put through 7 fake fraud of a trials when he was brought before the high priest. Remember, there were 2 high priests alive at that year. So he's back and forth between Caiaphas and Annas. What's his name? Ananias. Doesn't sound right. Annas. Is that right? Yeah, okay, between Caiaphas and Annas. He's also brought between Herod and Pilate. 7 times he's moved between this crowd. Each time he is brutally beaten, made fun of, mocked, and yet never found anything wrong with him. There he is going up the circuit, and he comes before Herod here in Luke chapter 23, verse 13. Just start there. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people. Am I right? Let me see my verse 8. Sorry, go back. Verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long season because he had heard many things of him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a lot of people heard about Jesus? And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. I can just see Herod. I'm going to get a miracle today. Today is my lucky day. Then he questioned with him in many words. And here's Herod, as Jesus is brought before, he begins to fire the questions at him. But he answered him what? Now I want you to understand this real deep thought. Jesus Christ, every time he's been asked a question, he has answered it. Whether it's to the high priest or whether it's to Pilate. But when he stands before Herod, he doesn't answer a word. And I want you to understand why. Because of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, Herod had come and had heard John the Baptist preach. It says there in Mark 6, Herod loved to hear John preach. And it was only because of his wife, and isn't it always the wife? The wife convinced him to behead him, because he would have kept him around forever. But he loved John the Baptist, and he heard John the Baptist preach. It says he heard him gladly preaching. But you know what he never did? One thing that John ever said. So when Jesus stands before him, I can tell you exactly what was going on in Jesus Christ's mind. You've already heard it all. There's nothing more I can say. And you better learn this. Your preacher gives you enough on Sunday for you to last you a month. Put enough time and spend there studying and preaching there. There's enough truth in that Sunday morning. I mean, then we come back Sunday night, amen. Get a double blessing, amen. Then we come back on Wednesday night and we're just overflowing, amen. We got enough to last us 6 months. But do we do anything with it? And then all of a sudden, we start going to church and, well, you know, I just don't get anything out of it anymore. You ever hear anybody say that? No. You ever been there? Yeah. You know why? Because you haven't done what you heard. Yeah. And after a little while, the shield there is demonic, but it goes quiet. They're just words. They mean nothing to you. If you don't act on what you are hearing tonight, I don't know where you'll be next month, but you will miss. If you don't act now, you only step down. You will lose. That silence that you get may be God saying, I've already spoken, dude. I'm not going to comfort you right now. I told you what to do a month, and here you are. You're in a problem now because you didn't do anything about it. You better go back and do the first works. Amen? Do you understand? God goes silent sometimes just to give you, thirdly, a time to mature and to make you stay faithful. Stay trusting the commands and the promises that you already know from His Word. Sometimes you need to just sit back and go, all right, I got to go by what I know, and I need to start remembering what I know and just start rejoicing that God has already spoken. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. Remember when you first got saved? Hey, just love this book. Amen. Don't ever get over it.
Amen.
Let me just throw out some things here. I'm not going to belay. I'm almost done. Romans 15:4 says the things that happened aforetime were written for our admonition. You know what admonition is? It's what preaching is. To admonish, is to urge, is to push, is to pull, is to get you to do something. Amen? They were written for our admonition that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Listen to me. When you go through the book of Job, you're going to learn that God is God. End of story. I mean, I'm not even going to preach here. I'm just going to list some of the things that you will get from Job you won't get from reading People magazine. What are all the different magazines? Hello magazine, Women magazine, Wow magazine. I don't know what it is. You're going to learn from that book, especially the book of Job, that God's God. And you cannot argue with him. Amen? Job tried. Job desperately wanted to have an audience with God. And when he did, he went, oh.
There's nothing more I can say.
Amen. He's God. And we're nothing. Amen. Secondly, you're going to learn that he's the one in control. Aren't you glad that's true? Amen. You see, never, ever does Job try to take on the devil. Never what? Never does. Now, I believe in the devil. Amen. I know he's there. He's the second most powerful being in this universe. But I don't mess with him. He tries to mess with me. That's why I'm a runner. I'm chicken. I'm as yellow as they come. As soon as the devil comes knocking, guess where I'm running? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Amen. I'm chicken. Amen. You say, buk-a-ak, buk-a-ak. Yep, yep. When the devil's around, when the darkness starts enveloping, I'm praying. Amen. I'm not standing against the devil. Amen. I'm a fool if I do that. Amen. You are too.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You need to realize that he's the one in control. Amen. Thirdly, and you ought to just thank God when the storm is blowing, you can say, Lord, I know this is for a reason. And I'm not going to die here. We're going to get through this thing. Third, he is honored by willful worship. Now, you know what willful worship is? How many know what willful sin is? That's what you do because that's what you want to do. Amen? You know, the Lord is honored when you, out of your own choice, not because you're dragged, not because you're related to the preacher, like my Joshua, not because of any other reason than just want to tell God I love him. I just want to give these next 15 minutes to him in prayer and praise and cast my burdens upon him and give him every right to have control of my life this day. I want that. You know what that does? It honors him. He's worthy of that. You know, there in Leviticus, who can get anything out of Leviticus? There is so much Leviticus. Chapter 1 is so full. You know what it says? That when they bring the sacrifice, it says this, probably 15 times, they must do it willfully.
Right.
That word just shows up there. It's got to be them at their own want.
Right.
Amen. Right. Amen. He's honored by willful worship. I got so many scriptures, but I'm not going to go. Fourthly, you're going to learn that he knows what he's doing. And nobody else does. You ever sit down with somebody? Well, brother, I understand what you're going through, and this is what's happening. They don't know. They don't know. Folks, you know, sometimes to be the best friend, sometimes you just need to weep with them that weep. You don't have to say a word. You don't need to. And I get into a discussion with somebody who's having a hard time. You know what I do? I'm the pastor. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to tell them what this is why. You know, this is how we get through. You know? And all they wanted was just somebody to weep with. Amen? You know, you don't have to just understand God knows what he's doing. There's no way. And God, you know, in the book of Job, you know what? When Job is asking God, why? And when his friends, they can't answer. Elihu can't answer. And when God shows up, he says, I'm not going to answer. Because you couldn't handle it if I did. I read a little illustration that if God did try to explain himself to us, it'd be like trying to pour the Atlantic Ocean into a teacup. It just couldn't fit. So God says to Job, can't tell you. Just trust me. Amen? That's what you learn about God. There's nothing wrong with asking why, because you are going to learn. But, you know, sometimes you have to just leave the whys for another day, for another world, where the Lord will, I think it'll take a long time to explain all of what happened in our life. He'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes that day. Amen. Another thing, God is merciful. You read there in James chapter 5, it says, ye have heard of the patience of Job, that the Lord is very, what's the word? Pitiful. It's the word for merciful. We use the word pity in a wrong way. You know, oh, I pity her. It's a slam. But when the Lord is pitiful, boy, you better take that as a hug, amen? That's mercy. When he just, okay, I won't. That's mercy, amen? And the Lord is very merciful. Because you know what Job realized? He was calling on God to defend himself, and if God wanted to defend himself against Job, mercy, God didn't wipe him out. All Job could say is, I'm vile. I was stupid. I'm sorry. Amen.
Amen.
You know what you're learning? What 99% of all the theologians never get when they're in their Bible colleges and Bible seminaries. You're going to learn that God is faithful. God never abandoned him. God had a plan. God had a purpose. God was doing something in Job's life. God is unfathomable, meaning that when you try all the riches, what does it say there in Romans? Let me see if I've got it here. I wrote it down. I love this quote in Romans chapter 12. Is it chapter 12? Sorry here, one second. 11, chapter 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Here, Lord, let me sit down. Let me explain this to you. Or who hath first given to him that it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's unfathomable. I like that. I've read plenty of books. You know how many of them I've read more than once? Not many. But I get in that book, I'm on my 39th time.
Amen.
Now that's not a boast,
Amen.
That's a challenge.
Praise God.
That's a challenge.
Praise God.
You never exhaust that. He is unfathomable. You know, if you found let's just pretend, all right, Brother McKinley, you're digging out with your boy, you know, and you're going along and you're playing Calvin and Hobbes, you know, looking for dirt, you know, and treasure and stuff out in the back garden. And all of a sudden, here's Caleb, and he says, Daddy, look pretty. And you find gold. Quick, go get your mother. And put a wall around the house. All of a sudden, you start digging. You know the first thing you're going to wish? Oh, let it be deep. Amen. Unfathomable is this concept. It never runs out. God, it doesn't mean that God can never be known. It means you will only know him more and more and more. The more you dig, the more you'll know. The more you'll learn, the more you'll rejoice and you'll shout. Sometimes you'll weep and you'll run with terror. But it will balance out and you'll go, wow, I can't wait to learn more. He's unfathomable. God is all wise. You know what that means? He's smarter than you. Amen? He's the one, folks. He's right. Let's just put it that way. He's right. He is all wise. And he's best worshipped in the trials. Now, you know what's funny? I'll show you this and I'm through. I found 63. I didn't list them all. I found 63 things. There's only what? 8? 9? I found 63 things about God just in the book of Job. Got all the cross references. You want them, I'll give them to you. Here's the point. Every book tells you about God in that book. Amen. Every book. Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus with the two men, two disciples. You know what he did? He opened the scriptures, and what did he do? He expounded on them about himself. Every book. He says, did you ever see this? That was me. Oh, and over here? That was me. And over here?
Amen.
That was me. Amen?
Amen.
I wish you got this. The book of Job is, yeah, it's about Job, but it's more about the God of Job. Folks, how well do you know God? I mean, and you probably, I hope you're able to say, not well enough. Okay, good. Honest man, good. How far will you trust him will be based on how much you know him. If you don't know him very well, you're not going to trust him very far. Amen? If you don't know me, you're not going to let me drive your car. Isn't that true? Amen? I saw somebody with a Volvo. I saw different nice cars out there. Amen? Amen? Somebody got a Merc. If you don't know me, you're not going to trust me with your car, will you? And most of us struggle with trusting God. And the realization is what? We don't know him very well. Though he slay me. Did you hear what he said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we've just begin to scratch the surface of this man, his experience learning about you. We're in a far better place. We have a completed revelation. He had no Bible at all. Lord, I'm glad you're merciful and you do take the time to reveal yourself. A lot of people are looking for visions and apparitions and dreams, and you've already spoken. You've already settled it. We don't need to go looking in a cave. We don't need to be looking in a whirlwind. We don't need to go looking for any fancy thing. We need to take what we find in this book of books, especially from the book of Job. And this weekend, Lord, may we hear with all ears open. Oh God, let it seep down into our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. What's up next? We're going to take a break for the next hour. You're going to go over. We've got pies and coffee and tea and biscuits and ice cream. And you might like a